morning. It's hard to wait. Especially when we don't know why we're waiting or what we're waiting for. You know what the ability to wait is called? Patience. It's called patience. 1 Corinthians 13:4a. Love is patient and kind. In this passage, you know, you could speak with tongues, you could speak with angelic languages. You can give the most powerful prophecies ever given. You can have unbelievable knowledge of divine spiritual things. You can understand all those mysteries. You can exercise great faith, so much so that you could speak to a mountain and it would move. You could get everything you own, all your earthly possessions to help the poor. You could surrender your life as painful suffering and sacrifice. But if you're not patient, if you don't have love, all of those things are nothing. Those great things that we desire, we seek after, we want, if it's without love, 1 Corinthians 13 says, it's nothing. And the very first thing that great love chapter says about love is what? Love is patient. You know, the Lord has really been impressing on me, reminding me, reinforcing to me how critically important patience is. Without patience, it is extremely difficult to discern God's ways and God's timing. It's extremely, if not almost impossible, to be aligned with God if you do not have patience. The Lord's been reinforcing that. I've shared stories about the journey with my mom and her, you know, her passing and all that. You're going to hear some stories. I hope you'll stay for the meeting this afternoon. You just hear some stories about God's working. And he's doing incredible things. But it requires patience. It requires patience. When we are out of alignment with God's timing, we might very well miss out on the full blessings he wants for you. Do you want God's best and full blessings in your life? That's not a rhetorical question. Do you want God's blessings, God's full blessings in your life? Yes. To experience that, to see it? Do you want it for your children? Do you want it for the people around you? It takes patience. It requires patience, because patience makes it possible for us to be in sync, in alignment with God's timing. You know, pastor and leadership expert John Maxwell, he says this: the timing of your decision the timing of your decision is just as important as the decision you make. And he goes through this little four-part thing. I love this. He says, if you have the wrong action and the wrong time, that's a disaster, right? We all know that. If you have the wrong, you're doing the wrong thing and it's at the wrong time, that's a disaster, okay? If you do the right action, okay, the thing you want to do, the thing you think you're supposed to do, you have the right action that you intend to do, but it's at the wrong time, that's resistance. Because although it could be the right thing, people will not be able to receive what you're wanting to do or agree with. There'll be a lot of pushback because it's at the wrong time. If you have the wrong action at the right time, that's a mistake. But it's only when you have the right action at the right time, then that leads to success. You know, there are many examples in the Bible of people who were out of sync with God's timing because of impatience. Some of the greatest people in the Bible were guilty of impatience and being out of sync with God. The father of the faith, Abraham, or at that time, Abram and Sarai, right? His wife, right? He was promised a child at his later years. God said, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. And God made a covenant with Abraham. This will come to pass. The problem was, they had to wait for a long time. They were getting old, right? And Sarah said, well, maybe God wants you to have a kid with my servant, Hagar. So they did. Ishmael was born. And ever since then, there's been huge conflict in the Middle East. How about King Saul, the first king, the tall one, the handsome one? He said, it says he was a head taller than anyone else. King Saul. But the prophet Samuel told Saul, okay, the Philistines, you're going to go to battle with the Philistines. Go wait here. Do not go to war until I come and offer a sacrifice honoring and acknowledging the Lord. You got it? Yes. Okay, repeat after me. I will wait for you to come before I go to war because you have to offer the sacrifice. He waits 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. Everyone's getting restless. The army's starting to go. He gets panicked. And he says, well, doesn't this sound like good thinking? Well, we can't go to war without having a sacrifice. The army's fleeing, so I'll just do the sacrifice myself. He gets impatient. He can't wait. Right after he does the sacrifice, here comes Samuel strolling in. What did you do? As a result, King Saul loses his kingship. All his generations after him suffer because of that. Then we have Moses, the deliverer. He's the called one, the anointed one, to deliver God's people. Moses grows up in that palace with luxury amongst Egypt, but he identifies with his people, the Hebrews. So when he's about 40, he has some authority, some power. He's a prince of Egypt. He sees one of the Egyptians beating and abusing one of the Hebrews, his countrymen, his bloodline. So what does he do? No one's looking. He kills the Egyptian. People found out. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gets furious, wants to kill him. He flees. He has to flee into the wilderness. He flees in obscurity to this wilderness to be a lowly shepherd for how many years? 40 years. Because he was impatient, out of sync with God's timing, tried to take it into his own hands and do something. Patience gives us the ability to wait. Wait for God's perfect timing. And let me tell you, impatience will always lead to acting out of your own flesh. And acting generally prematurely before God's timing. Now, I know you've read the Bible about patience. You've heard messages about patience. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. But, you know, often when we read the Bible or hear a message about patience, our takeaway is this. It's pretty simple. Okay, I got to be more patient. That's our take. We hear the message, read it, and we walk away saying, I got to be more patient. And then we think, okay, I've got to what? Try harder. I've got to try harder to be more patient. But you know what the problem is? We get impatient waiting to be more patient. So today, and the rest of the time, I'm going to explain how you could grow in patience. I'm going to give you a how to grow in patience. And the key is, I believe the key to growing in patience is partnering with God. You know, so often we want to do things on our own. Man, in my own life, I see it in a lot of people, give me the formula. Just give me the formula, and I'll go ahead, and I'll do it. And I know I'll be good because I have the formula down. That is not what God wants. God wants relationship. He wants it to do life together with you. He doesn't want to give us formulas because we say, okay, God, thank you, and we go off on our own and do it. He doesn't want that. The most important thing to him is walking in relationship, in partnership, together with us. So he doesn't give us formulas. He wants partnership. And so the key to growing in patience is partnering with God to address the roots of our impatience. That's the key to growing in patience. You have to address the roots of what makes you impatient. Now, let me give you three possible roots, or let me give you what question to ask. How do we know the roots? When we get impatient, you ask yourself, is this mostly a mind issue? Is it mostly an emotion issue, or is it mostly a will issue? That asking yourself that, when you see yourself acting, feeling, behaving, thinking impatiently, that question will help you try to start to identify what is the root of my impatience. Now, let's look at all three. Let's look at mind issue. And let's go back to Sarah and Abraham, Genesis 15 through 18. They had very good human reasoning. We're old. We're getting past childbearing years. God promised it to us. He said it's going to come from Abraham himself. So they start thinking, I'm sure Sarah starts thinking, we got to do something about this. It's getting too late. It may be too late already. We're 80-something years old. I don't know if Abraham's got it anymore. We got to do something. There must be another way. Hagar, my maidservant. There's precedence for that. If you can't get pregnant, right? If a family doesn't get pregnant, the woman doesn't have any children, the husband dies, then what's supposed to happen in the Old Testament ways? Brother, come on in. You gotta have a kid so she has a lineage. That's the solution. Abraham says, okay. Him and Hagar have a child. Then you know what hits the fan. And ever since that time, that decision, that impatience, taking matters into their own hands because of their own human reasoning. Makes sense. Makes logical sense. Makes human, rational, reasonable sense. Wrong timing, impatience, leads to acting out of the flesh, conflict ever since, for centuries and centuries and centuries. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you identify it as a mind issue, your reason, you're very analytical, your reasoning, it's making sense. This is what you think you got to do, and you take it into your own hands. If it's a mind issue, you must practice seeking the Lord before you act. You have to pause that. You got to take a time out. And you guys say, have I sought the Lord on this issue? Have I prayed about this issue? Have I waited before the Lord on this issue? Have I read the word, which is the truth of God, in order to bring revelation to me so I'm not just operating out of human wisdom? Am I seeking godly counsel? Am I submitting these plans to the Lord and asking, God, give me wisdom? James says, if we ask with wisdom without doubting, he will surely give it. Am I asking for revelation, divine wisdom, to see things from his perspective, not just my own? If it's a mind issue, you have to address the mind, the thoughts. Get out of your own thinking and head and bring it before the Lord. What if it's an emotion issue? 1 Samuel 13. The prophet told the king Saul, wait for me until I come. I need to do the sacrifice. But what happens? The enemy, the Philistines are gathering. His men are getting restless. You know, you see the man, what are we doing? The enemy's right there. We're just waiting day after day after day. They're getting restless. They're getting frustrated. They even start leaving. I'm packing up. I'm getting out of here. King Saul's a doof. We're not doing anything. They start scattering. The enemy starts gathering. And what happens to Saul? Fear. Anxiousness. Worry. Those emotions start stirring. And it's those emotions. He says, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. I know. I'll just bring over the lamb. I got it right here. All right. I took care of it. Did he? Because he did that, God says, you're not qualified to be the king. Your kingship is getting stripped from you. And God had promised him, if you walk in my ways, there will be in all your generations someone to sit on the throne. All his succeeding generations were affected he got anxious and fearful, and so he acted impatiently and offered the sacrifice. 1 Samuel 13. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" I can just imagine Samuel put his, "What have you done?" Because Samuel knew the consequences of impatient and being out of sync with God's timing. And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Saul's emotions got the better of him. You know, it's hard, right? Because when you start worrying, when you start feeling anxious about something, you start feeling like, I got to do something, right? We've all been there. And the tendency is to say, okay, I got to just do this. Do your emotions cause you, your emotions like fear, anxious, and worry cause you to be impatient? If so, how do you address that with the Lord? I got one suggestion for you. It's a suggestion I repeat over and over and over. Prayer, ministry, team. The prayer ministry teams are set up to come alongside you. And basically, the biggest thing is to help you connect with God. To help you dial it down so you don't act impulsively out of your emotion. They help you to stand with you, help you to pause, bring it before the Lord, and help you identify why are you feeling so anxious. Because there's reasons, there's good reasons why you're feeling anxious. Maybe when you were younger, your dad was always, "Hurry up, get in the car, we're gonna be late." You heard that your whole life growing up. So when there's something you have to do and it's not getting done, those emotions get stirred. That's what needs to get addressed. You cannot will patience. You have to address the heart issue of it. What is driving that? Maybe there's fear. Maybe one time when you were young, you got afraid and you didn't do something, or you did do something and it turned out horribly and you got hurt or others got hurt. That memory's there. So when you're in a similar situation today, even 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, get stirred. And you start doing things you don't even know why you're doing it, but you're acting out of that emotion of fear. That's what needs to get addressed. Why are you feeling those things that are causing impatience? And that's so important because, like we said, if you act out of impatience, almost invariably, you're going to be out of sync with God's timing. You're going to do things before the right time. And it's going to either be a mistake or a disaster and lead to consequences. third thing. So we have the mind. Is it a mind issue? And it might be different for different circumstances, but these tools help you to get at what's the root. Is it a mind issue? Is it an emotion issue? Or is it a will issue? Exodus 2, Moses, he tried to help his fellow Hebrew. He had a good intention. He saw his fellow Hebrew getting beaten and abused, so he wanted to step in. And I think he already had a sense, because his kind of like miraculous salvation when he was a baby, you know, his mom put him into a basket and floated him down the river. Who would have thought that would be a good thing to do? But she did. Maybe the Lord told her. Maybe she saw, she put him, and he ends up in Pharaoh's daughter's lap. So I think he had a sense, I have a calling from God to help. Maybe even he had a sense to deliver. I'm going to help my fellow Hebrew. I'm going to do it. I'm going to help deliver him. And like I said, as a result, he's forced to flee at the age 40 into obscurity for 40 years until God's time, when God calls him through the burning bush, "You're my man. The time is now." Sometimes the root of our impatience is simply doing something because I want to do it. I want to do it, and I want to do it now. Not waiting for nothing, not waiting for no one. How do we address this root? Confession. Repentance. James 4, 6. This has been really a key guiding verse throughout my life. James 4, 6. "And he," God, "gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." If you are continually exercising your own will without seeking God's will, pride. That is pride. It is much better to humble yourself and repent rather than for God to humble you for your own good. Much better if we humble ourselves than get to a place where God says, "Okay, I gotta humble you." You don't want God to have to humble you. And he's not doing it to be mean. He's doing it out of love, because he knows the way you're walking will lead to your destruction, or at least to pain and hurt for you and others. A sign of being humble is waiting on the Lord before you act. And when you act out of your own will without consulting the Lord, repent, confess, tell him, fast. Because when we repent and when we confess, what does God say he does with the humble? He gives grace to the humble. You know, healthy patience, let me just say this one thing and then I'll close. Healthy patience, it doesn't mean passivity. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm just going to wait and do nothing, and God, you have to do it all. That's not healthy patience. That's being passive and not taking responsibility for any part of what God wants you to do as his partner. When we cultivate godly patience, it lines us up with God's timing and puts us in the right place so that when he does say, okay, go, now's the time, we're like, okay, I'm ready to step in. That's healthy patience. That's godly patience. It's not passivity. And being in sync with God is powerful. It is powerful. Because when you're in sync with God and you're operating in his timing, he will move things. You will see him orchestrating things and bringing all these things together that you didn't even know were connected. These things from your past, these things from going on now, these random things that you had no idea about, you see them come together and you're like, oh my gosh, only God. Only God. And he will do far more than you could ever ask or imagine according to his power that is working within you, because you're walking in sync with him as a partner. And then you get to witness all these things he's doing. And you're like, and there is no way on earth you would have ever thought to do those things. It's so far out. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. It's at that level. You can't even see it. You're not even aware of it. But when you're walking and you see it happen, it's like, oh my gosh. Wow. And that leaves us to a greater love, gratitude, appreciation, worship, acknowledgement of who God is and what he wants to do in your life. Let me just close with this. Patience is from God. Patience is who God is. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Receive that. He is patient toward you. He is infinitely patient toward you. No human walking with you would have been able to stand patiently with you in your life. It's true for me. But God, the infinitely patient one, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The more we realize his patience with us, the more we experience God's patience with us, every time you confess, every time you repent, you receive his patience. You experience his patience, his loving kindness in spite of. And every time that happens, that empowers you, fills you, transforms you so that you can be more patient with the people around you. Love is patient. God is patient. God made you to be patient so that you can be in sync with his timing. Then you will see the hand and goodness of God, and you will be all the more in awe of him. Let's bow forward in prayer. God, we confess and we declare and we acknowledge and we recognize that you are patient towards us. We know, Lord, you have been exasperated by us, hurt by us, disappointed by us, saddened by us, as well as excited and cheering and joyful. But Lord, we know we have tried your patience. But Lord, you cannot be anything other than who you are. You are patient, you are kind, you are loving, you are good, you are trustworthy, you are gracious, you are truth, you are justice, and you love, love, love to bless us. And so, Lord, thank you. Help us to experience your patience. Help us to walk humbly before you. Lord, help us to have the courage to know you're with us, to address all the things in our lives that make us impatient. And Lord, speak your peace and shalom over each one here. Thank you, Lord. We just want to come before you and honor you and worship you now, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name,